And welcome to Canqueer, home of Canada's queer media, and I am at the edge of my seat with excitement, and it's not just Pride season getting me in a great mood. We are live in Fredericton. Of course, if you're listening to this outside of Fredericton, we're not live, but you know, these things happen. But we're so excited because we're here at the National Campus and Community Radio Association Conference with some truly incredible folks around. We had an LGBT caucus, and I hauled them all in here by crook and by hook, and they've all come and joined me. So do you folks want to introduce yourselves, and maybe we'll start to my right and work our way around.
Hi, this is Katie from CFUV in Victoria.
I'm Stephanie Tierney from Local FM in St. John.
I'm Abby Smith from Local FM in St. John.
I'm Julia Rogers from Local FM in St. John.
And I'm Madeline Taylor from CITR in Vancouver, BC.
Very exciting. We actually had a pretty great discussion earlier today about LGBT radio and all of those great things. And now, of course, for our folks listening, they're probably thinking, wow, you know, I kind of recognize this voice from about in an hour's time. I mean, I think there's a drag bingo we need to get to. So we've had to bring it forward. Bottomless
bingo.
Absolutely. So if you're in town, that's the place to be, because that's where we're going to be. And that's nice. the most important part of that part. So how are you folks finding Fredericton so far?
It's so picturesque. I'm planning to do a historical walk. There's a cemetery I'm very excited to explore. And I can't believe the weather. It's been all over the place, but mostly beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I was really excited to see the river because I'm so used to vast ocean. And I just really like seeing different bodies of water and how they kind of affect the space and city around it.
Awesome.
Well, yeah, sorry, from the St. John contingent, we are very nearby, so we get to see a lot of Fredericton, and now I'm realizing we don't appreciate it as much as we should, because it is really beautiful, and the weather is, like, basically tropical.
Yep. Also, last night, we went to Boom for a little while, so shout out to Boom. We got in for the last half hour of the night and watched some pretty incredible karaoke, including a gender-bending version of I Kissed a Girl, so that was fun.
Wow.
And we're probably going to go there tonight as well.
Yes.
Exciting.
Oh, yeah, catch us at Boom with the $7 triples.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's going to get turned up.
Yeah. I certainly had a great time last night in Fredericton. I think you had a great term for just how drunk I did get.
And I'm not sure if it's allowed to say that on the radio?
Is it radio friendly?
It's a euphemism for breasts.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a euphemism. It's just a synonym. Okay, yeah. Luke was lit to the tits.
Yeah.
And it got really fun.
You know, I like that.
Julia wrote it down.
Get it printed
on
the badge.
I created a new note simply to document that.
Yep.
You were fun last night, though, Luke. Yeah. You were a blast.
And why, again, were you so wasted?
Rum.
Rum. Yeah, that was why.
No, I know. I mean, I know what you consumed.
No, that was the reason.
Oh, okay. It didn't have anything to do with a certain election?
Oh, yeah. No, of course, because I'm from Ontario, and my gosh, there is only some solutions. Now, we, of course, on our show do not recommend alcoholism as a solution for dealing with Donald Trump or Doug Ford. Although not saying it doesn't help, but it we, of course, would not recommend that, and very pro-recovery recovery folks here. So, you know, just getting a little PSA in there quick, just in case we get any angry emails. But yeah, what a great town, great reception. How do you find coming into a space like this? You know, before we were over in Abbotsford, shout out to CIVL folks who may be listening to this as well. We were over in Abbotsford, and you're coming into a town like Fredericton and effectively like showing up en masse and kind of queering that space. How has that been with your experience in the city?
I try to just be bombastic in my presentation, and then hopefully that is just invites people to come and speak to me and or just, yeah, I don't know.
I have a prof who used to be my thesis advisor, and she had a term for this experience that was called freaking, and how it's kind of fun to just go into a space and recognize that you look like a freak in the space that you're in, and that you can be aware of that and kind of play into it and gain a certain amount of power in that position. So that's kind of what I've been doing. Like, I got a fresh fade on before I came here. I've never had hair this short in my life, and I was just like, going to a smaller city, let's look super gay.
I like it. Make it work.
So yeah, absolutely. It's been kind of fun.
And we were saying just before we came on, I was like, you know, I'm not sure how to describe a group of gays. You know, typically it's a gaggle of gays. Shout out to Nancy, actually, from, is it WNYC?
WNYC Studios.
Oh, there we go. Anyways, I'm
forgetting
the studios.
New York City.
Yeah, shout out to them for the fantastic podcast, Nancy. Definitely worth a listen. And they had the Gaggle of Gays project that went on a little while. That just reminded me of that. But I was like, is that a good term for queer folks? And of course, just quick info for our listeners here, we're using queer as a bit of a reclaimed term. Older people may still have memories of that being used as a slur. I just want to quickly acknowledge that. But often we kind of use it more broadly, and my show is called Can Queer, so it's really hard to get away from that, so it's just one of those things. Anyway, but what do you call a group of queer folks? You know, I'd suggest it before the show, a group of queer folks would be an agenda. I think that's a pretty good term.
I really love that. I resonate with that very much.
We are the gay agenda.
Absolutely. Yeah. What about you folks? Can you think of any great terms?
Like a pile?
A pile.
I don't know.
A cuddle pedal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Super gross.
Yeah.
Dude. I think it's worth mentioning for the listeners' sake that we're in day two of a 3-day conference here, and we're all just a wee bit exhausted, really.
Yeah, I'm having a stupid day.
Yeah.
I feel like a bimbo.
Yeah, we should have had some Red Bulls or something before coming on. It would have been great. How are you doing over there, Mark? Mark is actually manning the fort for us. Very, very appreciative of that.
Yeah, I'm having a ball. I'm welcoming so many wonderful people that I've had a chance to meet at different conferences, and people who've never been to conferences before. It's a lot of work, and I'm tired, but I'm very happy to have everybody here. Absolutely. And welcoming everybody here. I'm just going to be pushing the buttons over here. I want to hear what you guys have to say, so...
I want to speak to you to the conference organizers like yourself that I really appreciated the opening talk on safer spaces and like tolerance through the conference. Also, they give a great shout out to how it's okay to have sex, which is funny to people always acknowledge that conferences are like a can be like a smutty time, but it's not something that you ever hear someone say from behind a podium. So that was hilarious. But starting the conference off on a note of like mindfulness and taking opportunities to learn and ask questions when you're in a room full of people that you don't know.
Yeah, I just want to shout out personally to Lee Thomas, who is the person who did that. They're amazing. They do a lot of speaking. And I had seen them through interactions here at the station and interactions in theater in the city. And just a wonderful story as well. So, absolutely. I was when we thought we wanted to open the conference with something like that, Lee was the first person on the list and the last person on the list, and we're so happy that they were able to take time to come in. So, yeah, I'm very happy that you were happy about that. I'm just happy that everybody else is happy. I'm just getting stupid too, I think.
You're delirious.
I'm very delirious.
You described Lee as effervescent yesterday, which we quickly realized.
We freaked out.
Yeah, we loved it, and we've determined that it's like the only thing that we aspire for now. Someone to refer to us as being effervescent. So
maybe that's the term for a group of queer folks, is an effervescent.
Yeah.
We effervesce as we navigate the world.
I kind of feel like more of a blunt object myself. Today specifically.
Yeah, today especially, yeah.
I would believe that. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, there's no charm and demeanor. Yeah. Myself now. I'm not saying
this. Continue
to describe
you.
You're
breaking my heart right now.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was definitely me last night, maybe when I bumped into Madeline. That was not quite so effervescent at that point.
You were spewing certain things, but I was making a bad joke. It's bad.
Okay.
Keep going. Yeah.
Lovely stories. That's what I was was sharing with the world. I forget. Oh my gosh, you've just thrown me off. Anyway, so my show is usually typically very sort of queer news focused, and what's really dominating a lot of conversations. We're not going to talk about Doug Ford and the Trump of Ontario. We're not going to talk about that. But what I want to talk about is that in a lot of communities, as of early June, going all the way up into September, it's Pride season. Folks are coming together and celebrating their various prides. So have you folks had a pride yet? I know Winnipeg was just last weekend. You know, is that coming up for you? Do you still have that to look forward to?
In Victoria, we're having Pride the first week of July, and it's starting off with the big gay dog walk, which I'm very excited about. Wow. And I'm going to take Nico, my girlfriend's dog, so I'm very excited.
Oh, I'm currently living in a very small town called Wolfville, Nova Scotia, and I have been aware in previous years that they had Pride stuff going on. Just recently they had a Pride flag raising, but then I didn't see any listings for events happening after that. But I know they do have a very, very tiny parade, and the mayor also does sort of a welcoming kind of ceremony at the town market. So I haven't really, I've only been there for a month, so I really haven't dug my heels in, but I know the St. John Pride doesn't take place until August. I don't know the exact dates, but maybe you guys do?
I do, yeah. August, the parade is going to be on August 10th, sorry. I know this because it's also the first time they're doing a night parade, which is going to be way more lit, yeah. Because they have previous years had their, how long is it?
Or ironically, he said.
You said it's going to be way more late, and I said, ironically.
Okay, sorry. Please keep the jokes slow.
And repeat them three times.
It's going to be at night, which is great, because before in previous years, it's been at like 10 a.m., which is not great for me, because just being gay until 6 a.m. I'm gonna this is kind of like a shameless self-promotion thing, but I run a festival called Quality Block Party in St. John, New Brunswick, and it's happening the same weekend as Pride, which I'm really excited about because we're gonna be able to do some co-programming and be in the parade ourselves and encourage everyone to think about being queer. Now you go.
Yes, we live in the same place. We live in the same place. Will be there, and it will be dope that it will be at night.
We were the most unreasonable people at the parade last year.
Absolutely. at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. I'm from Vancouver, so there's a whole bunch of Pride-related things. And the things start around now and just sort of go until September. We don't really slow down. It's not so much Pride Month as it is just, Pride takeover for all of the best months in the city. So City Hall raised a Pride flag and as well as a trans flag in the last couple weeks, which was really lovely, and voted to outlaw conversion therapy in Greater Vancouver, which was great. Tokens of support there, which are really awesome. Coming up, our Vancouver's only DIY music festival called Music Waste is putting together their first ever queer showcase of musicians, which I'm missing because it's this weekend, but I'm very happy for them that it's happening. And they're also doing a drag night for the first time because there's such an incredible drag scene in Vancouver. And there are a lot of alternative Pride festivals. So the big main Pride parade happens in the first week of August in Vancouver, but there are a lot of other things that happen that I would urge people to check out instead. For example, there's Pinoy Pride, which is a Philippinex Pride celebration on June 16th. There's a March on Pride that's organized by Black Lives Matter Vancouver because the police are still heavily involved in the Pride parade. And if you follow any of those politics, you know what that debate's all about. So that's going to be happening in mid-July. So, yeah, there's kind of, pick your poison. We've got a gay version, and we'll make sure you have a good time.
I have an update on the Wolfville Pride. Pride Night at the Market, which takes place at the Wolfville Farmers Market. That takes place on Wednesday, July 18th from 4 to 7. And it's a rainbow celebration and community supper, and I think they decorate the market in rainbow colors, and of course, everybody's welcome. It says here in the description of the event that many vendors will be offering rainbow-inspired food and products. So you can check that out. It's on Facebook. There's a group called Wolfville Area Pride Group, which I'm going to go ahead and like as I'm speaking, because they also have a Pride Ride sort of like organizing event as well, which I assume is going to be riding your bike from town hall to some area and then planning the Pride events. So that's happening on Monday, June 11th at 11 a.m. at Wolfville Town Hall.
You know what I love about Pride parades and you know, I've done the Toronto Pride, which is just massive, and I went to Davie Village in Vancouver, and it's, you know, done Montreal Pride and done Ottawa Pride, but there's certainly a lot to be said there. You know, I like the alt Pride marches that happen sometimes, which is sort mm-hmm. of the anti Pride, like really queering a Pride event, which mm-hmm. is like sometimes needs to happen.
Putting the protest back into it.
Absolutely.
There's an event that happened in Moncton, which is a couple hours from here, that was really inspirational to me. It was called Grey Pride, and it was like an alien space themed like alternative DIY Pride, and it sounded super amazing.
Yeah. And then we have small towns, and I adore those because it's often, you know, just a little bit of a march, not too far, you know. You know, somebody's got an ankle that won't quite make the full distance, so, you know, they take it a little slow. And then you have a picnic. They always end in a picnic. I mean, I think that's just one of those things. And there's just a totally different feel to small town prides compared to the sort of often big commercial behemoths that are big town prides. So have any of you folks been to a little small town prides? I mean, of course, you literally are in small town prides, but what about yourself, Madeline?
I can't say that I've been to any little ones, but I know that many happen in and around Vancouver. Like, they're the Gulf Islands are this little cluster of islands between Vancouver, the mainland, and Vancouver Island, where Victoria is, where Katie's from. And so a lot of those islands have their own individual Pride celebrations, which are really lovely. And I think, like, that's why there's a bit more of an appeal to some of the more alt-Pride events in Vancouver, is because it isn't that big corporate party celebration. It's, like, which is super fun, don't get me wrong, but there's a more of a sense of cohesive community. So I know, for example, the Dyke March is a thing that happens in Vancouver, and that goes down a different route than the Davie Pride Parade. It's down Commercial Drive, which is, like, where, like, queer women and lesbians and trans folks are in Vancouver. If you want to find them, they're there. And it ends in a picnic, and little tents get set up, and everyone shares food, and, like, there are so many kids and dogs, and it's just, like, during the day and really chill. So that's my favorite event. But, yeah, so kind of similar feel.
Absolutely. Now I'm going to just lower the tone just a little bit here. We can't really talk about prides and talk about the series of murders that happened in Toronto and kind of the consequences of that, because we're really seeing it in Toronto Pride. They're taking a moment's silence and they're ending the Pride parade in black as a way of acknowledging that there are things that, you know, aren't really there to be celebrated with colour. There are things where there are massive omissions in what the police have not done, and there are folks doing fantastic work in Toronto on calling that power accountable. But that's sort of, this isn't something that is unique to Toronto. You know, there are folks who, you know, there's crimes that don't get investigated properly, you know, associated with homophobia or transphobia nationwide. We hear about them from time to time. Mm-hmm. You know, what are the folks doing in your areas to kind of either, you know, acknowledge the, I mean, if you don't know, that's fine, but, like, to acknowledge the fact that we've been made aware of a very prolific serial killer targeting our community, specifically the people of color from South Asia in Toronto, and the fact that there's been these other elements that happen elsewhere as well. So do you know what folks are doing in your area to kind of build that into Pride? Mm.
Nothing in St. John specifically that I'm aware of. There very well could be, but this is like, I think it's been on people's minds in our area of the gay conversion therapy is kind of been talked about a lot right now because there was
Journey Canada.
Yeah, Journey Canada was presenting a gay conversion workshop for priests at a convent in the greater St. John area, and eventually it was because there was a kind of like a lot of people contacting the like local diocese bishop protesting it, and there was a planned protest. It ended up getting canceled, but it's like a very good reminder that we're in a very conservative space, mm-hmm. and the stuff isn't that far away. And like you have to, the fact that the only reason it didn't happen is because people were horrified.
Maybe just for the sake of the listeners here, we want to just quickly define conversion therapy, just so that folks are all on the same page.
This specifically is like a kind of like modern version of conversion therapy, which is essentially teaches like a gay abstinence. So basically, like, yeah. So that's basically kind of education in repression and shame.
And there are some great documentaries available that look at the impact of this. I think the UN has designated it in some of its forms as, quite frankly, just torture. Mm-hmm. It's ineffective, it doesn't work, and all it does is have really, really harmful impacts on folks. But great news from places from, like, Vancouver that, like, banned it. Like, that's astonishing that that decision was made.
Yeah, it is good that that decision was made. And I think it's the kind of thing that was sort of assumed to be unacceptable in the area already, but we didn't have official legislation about it, which was nice. But I mean, you know, there are memoirs around of people who were put through conversion therapy, like, you know, 25 years ago in Vancouver. There's one memoir that I'm reading right now, but it's called The Inheritance of Shame, and I can't remember the name of the person who wrote it. I'll look it up when we take a break, but just talking about the impact that that has and the way that it can destroy your life and just fill you with self-hatred. So it's good. That's why we have Pride, as a way to counter that and like express queer joy as a form of protest, because having pride in something that society tells you is disgusting and wrong is literally radical, and that's mm-hmm. why this month or in this period of time or even like the few hours that you get to experience that and just lean into it in wherever you live, that's why it's so important, is because it allows people to feel fully human in their body no matter where they are. So yeah, there's lots of different things happening in Vancouver to counter all of the negative things, and I think a lot of it specifically is more to do with really handing the reins back to trans folks and people of color, because there's been a lot of like white dominance in Vancouver specifically of Pride events, and that's been really hard and harmful. But there isn't anything quite like a serial killer, which is quite extreme, that we're aware of, anyways. But yeah, I think my focus around this time of year is just trying to like find joy, even Absolutely. Though it's hard. Yeah.
And we'll be doing some great work on finding that joy and lifting the tone just after this. I'm going to see if Mark is willing to cue up actually the song. This is I'm Just Me by Diamond Rings. We had a little taste of it earlier. I had the wonderful pleasure of interviewing Diamond Rings with my co-host Sebastian. And I think Johnny's now in some other band. It's all quite, I've lost track. It's very, very sad. But I love this song, and we'll be back a little after this.
Teach teach me how to pray. I'm no son or daughter. I'm no thing, just me. All I want are your lips, redder than rose hips, sleeping next to my desire. Show me what to live for and how to give more, because of you I believe. You and I can foment at the perfect moment, three-dimensionality. Yeah.
Hello and welcome back to Cancree, home of Canada's queer media. I'm still Luke Smith.
And I'm still Katie. Can I tell them what we just heard?
Yeah, go ahead.
So we just heard Debbie Friday from the album Bitch Punk, and that track was called Indulge Me. And that record just came out, like, pretty recently, within the last month. And it's what I played on In Rainbows last week on CFUB, so... Yeah, I'm so digging that album, and Debbie Friday is based out of Vancouver right now, but is originally from Montreal.
And of course, you can check out In Rainbows by going to CFUV, and it's also linked through on our website if you're there as well, www.cancria.news, I think that's the website. Forget, including my own name. Now, we were like just rocking out to that, and it was great. And it, you know, it's really nice to just hear some queer punk. Yeah. You know, we usually get a bit safe on our show, and it's nice to mix it up a little bit. That was very refreshing.
Nice. I mix it up on In Rainbows quite a bit.
Excellent. So we were talking about pride. I kind of lowered the tone, made everybody sad. And we were told that we need to focus on the joy, which is wonderful. And one of the things that just makes my heart sing is, I mean, there's two things, because I immediately just said, you know, I was thinking of meeting new folks at pride parades and seeing people being able to kind of explore that space, especially if you can have a bit of an inkling that maybe they're a little bit of a baby gay, and you know, they're just coming out into their world, and it's really nice to see that. And what actually, you know, gets me every time, I watched Prayers for Barbie a few years ago, and it makes me cry every time. Yes. I'm just like bawling like a baby for like the solid last hour of that. Like it's bad. It's like the Notebook for gay people. It's just,
I haven't seen it. Give me a Cole's notes.
No, I can't.
Yeah. And not even
you
a little?
You just have to watch it.
Okay. Yeah, because...
It's the gay notebook?
Yeah.
No. Does it end in tragedy?
It's not... Yes. Oh. No, well, I think it starts in tragedy, really. Yeah. I mean, it's a gay movie. You know, someone probably dies.
Yeah, of course.
There's no HIV in this movie, though, so that's good. That narrows it down.
Yeah.
Is there?
No, murder? Or?
No.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to have to...
You want all the spoilers.
I'm going to have to give some... So, Prayers for Barbie is a sort of a biopic around the lady who helped create PFLAG in the US and kind of the pivotal moment. But you don't really know that until the end because at the start, this lady is very, very homophobic. And it's sort of couched within the space of the time and the reactions, and she tries to find solace in God, and it's kind of very, very, and then there's a tragedy, and kind of like the last hour of the movie is just like tear and tear and tear, and it's an emotional roller coaster. So have tissues and chocolate, and you'll be fine. But it's a pivotal movie. And absolutely wonderful. I don't even know why I got to press. Oh, yeah, that's the thing about the Pride Parade. So every time I see, like, PFLAGs come through, which are, you know, parents and friends of gays and lesbians, which is now the broader LGBT folks, you know, it's that the symbolism of, you know, being like, you know, I am a gay person's mother or a trans person's dad or what have you, and for me, I'm taking a stand and marching, and it's so heartwarming to see that moment in the Pride Parade. Do you other folks have favorite things that you see in the Pride Parades that kind of give you life? I mean, don't all rush at once, like that's...
I thought that we were going to go in a circle. Dogs, obviously.
That's what I was going to say.
I knew it. I wanted to get in there first. You know, queer dogs are fun. Kids, I don't know. I think it's just like a. It's nice to have it to be like truly all ages.
I find like at St. John Pride, I've been going for 4 years, and the thing I like to see the most is young people coming out, because I don't. I guess maybe because they're in school. I don't see them anywhere ever. But Pride Week, I see so many interesting people, and we have the flag raising with the mayor every year at City Hall with some delicious cake, and there's always like these really cool looking people, and I don't know where they come from, and I don't know where they go after Pride Week, but that's one of my favorite things. Like, I get really charged up, and then probably try to awkwardly approach them and like make friends, but the one thing I was going to say about a small town pride, now I haven't been to the Wolfville Pride yet, but I've seen photographs from last year's pride, and one thing I like to see in those pictures was that there were no, that I could see anyway, no corporate floats, no, you know, 20 people marching from a some kind of bank or something, or not to say that they don't have a place, I guess, but sometimes I get a little overwhelmed when I go to Pride Week, and it's all these businesses that I don't hear about them doing anything in our local community for queer folks. But then all of a sudden there's like 100 people from, you know, fill in the blank bank. It's always like a little disconcerting for me. I wonder like how many of them really support Pride or queer people in their community, or if it's just they're doing it because it's that, you know, the company's going out and they have their banner or whatever. But I will say also in the St. John Pride for the last 4 years, my friend Gloria Halverson has been front and center with the transgender flag, and she is miraculous. She always makes me smile, and she's all smiles and dancing, and she's got her flag and other people are holding it with her, and that always makes me feel really happy, and it also makes me feel really welcome at the parade too, because in small cities I think maybe transgender representation isn't that large compared to the overall queer community, so seeing those four or five people carrying that trans flag and being really like happy and empowered is really touching.
I don't know. It's hard for me to pick one thing. Yeah. I remember this one moment from the Dyke March last year. I saw these two people carrying a flag between them, and they just looked pretty like, I don't know. They weren't like super dressed up. They both had like long brown hair, and they're wearing like shorts and a t-shirt, but they're carrying a flag that was like, it said something about like femme dykes, or like we're like femmes in the pride parade or whatever, and like they're the kind of people that you wouldn't look at them and like necessarily clock them as queer right away. Mm-hmm. So it was just sort of them being really self-aware, and also just sort of like finding a way to make themselves visible in a space where, like, you know, they don't have like the like typical haircut, and they're not wearing like a patterned button-up shirt with like a key ring or whatever, like, you know, which like also great, but it was just cool to see people who are sort of like, I don't fit the aesthetic necessarily that you would think of, but like I'm here too, and I'm part of this community, and like I just remember seeing that that image of them walking, and they were both just so relaxed, and like it made me really emotional, because I went through a long time where I didn't know how to flag, as it's like I'm part of the club, but like you don't know how to like signal that. Yeah. And so it was just cool to see people who are kind of figuring out their own way to do it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of gay and queer culture comes from that, is literally flagging, you know. In the UK, Polari, you know, the South London gay community invented an entire language around it, and penny and loafer was a way of, you know, being able to identify it. The entire hanky code it's all about using different methods to communicate with each other, and not the popo. But, you know, things have changed now. They're in the parades. But it's a way of, yeah, this has always been a kind of ongoing queer struggle, is, you know, because anybody could be LGBT, you know. It intersects with everything. You know, so yeah, how do you have that conversation? Now, speaking of flagging, there's some folks who do it really well at Pride parades. I mean, the outfits that some people have, especially the bigger ones, where people like just go to Pride and they're just in amazing outfits. You know, drag queens in full gowns in the crazy heat. I don't know how they do it, but yeah, no, crazy Pride outfits also give me a bit of life. It's pretty amazing, definitely revitalizing for sure.
There's also a lot of nudity, which is really fun.
Yeah. We had an interesting discussion about that a little while ago, because Capital Pride in Ottawa was looking at how to ban nudity. And, of course, Doug Ford, I'm only mentioning him because he'd said before that Pride is just naked, sweaty men in their 40s. naked, overweight, sweaty men in their 40s. And I'm like, you know what? There's kind of something empowering about just having a space where a naked, sweaty man in his 40s can just, like, do his thing. But the difference here, and everyone's like, "Whoa, I don't want to see that." And the difference here is, you know, realistically, where there is an expectation of nudity, it's relatively legal. You know, that's why you can do it in Toronto Pride, because they have been doing it for so long. That's why nudist beach is a work where it's not expected. You know, the grocery store, then not so much. So that's the difference. And in queer spaces and queer pride, especially in larger cities, it has become expected and kind of moves into that mark. But that's not all that pride is. You know, we've mentioned some pretty amazing moments about it. I wanted to pick up on something that you said, because I had a great conversation yesterday with the Canadian Olympic Committee, the director of communications for the Canadian Olympic Committee, and he was showing me all of the branding for the COC, and you know, the BU, Be Olympic, and they're all rainbows, and I'm like, you know what, branded corporations always get my back up. I'm like, oh, you know, I've been on the Pride, a large Pride governing committee. You know, you need to get the money somewhere to pay for the permits, and it's all, you know, these things have to happen, and the queer community isn't really rolling in the dough, so it has to come from somewhere. So I'm always anxious about that. But what impressed me is the Canadian Olympic Committee actually is walking the walk. You know, they're the ones that are hosting Pride House when the Olympics are in countries where it's not welcome. You know, they're the ones that invited Gus Kensworthy and Adam Rippon from the States under Trump to come hang out with them, because they had a very queer-friendly space, and they have the wall, and, you know, a lot of organizations are like the Play Sport initiative that's happening through various federations. You know, they're actually putting in the effort constantly all year round to engage with the LGBT community. So I'm kind of okay with them at the Pride Parade. You know, what are you folks feeling about that? You know, do we need to see actual effort before we're willing to, like, let them in? Because it's a queer space, you know?
I think that's a really important question, and you can get as macro about that as you want, because at the end of the day, like, the part of the things that keep people, like, oppressed and in danger is, like, a society of capitalism, and so you can keep that up, you can stay up all night getting stressed out about that like I do, but if you actually want to do something about it, engaging with companies and maybe asking for a little bit more than a check, maybe like wanting, being curious about like their actual like policies, and what they do year-round, and what they're doing for their queer employees, because there's no company that doesn't have them, and how they address, like, the queer wage gap, like, in their own, like, community. Yeah, that's, like, perfect world, obviously. I mean, I'm not inhuman. Like, if somebody was like, here's $10,000, I'd have a really hard time turning it down, but it's something to think about, and you can get as involved as you want if it's supposed to be a sponsorship relationship.
Yeah. I think also, like, there's this sort of sense of scarcity for, like, queer folks who are doing fundraising, because a lot of people don't have a lot of money, but we're a huge market, so you can try to, like, use capitalism to your benefit and just be like, if you want us to spend our money on your product or in your space or whatever, this is what you need to do for us. And so, yeah, it's it it grosses me out to a certain extent when corporations like pinkwash themselves for Pride Month. It can be really gross. Mm-hmm. Like I saw, I saw this meme that was like Steve Buscemi. Does anyone know?
Oh, yeah.
That meme where Steve Buscemi is like dressed as a teenager, but he's clearly like 40 something, and he walks into a school, and it he the caption says like "Hello, fellow teenagers" or something. So they've done a version of that for Pride where he's just like in a rainbow T-shirt. And he walks in and he's like, "Hello, fellow gays." And the caption is like, "Corporations during Pride." And then yesterday I saw an ad for Hellman's mayonnaise. sorry if Hellman's is one of your sponsors, but I'm going to say a bad thing about them. But they had a recipe for like Pride Hellman's sandwich that was like bread and mayonnaise and then sprinkles on the outside.
Ew.
Yeah, no, like rough. It was really
so
rough.
It wasn't called gayonnaise.
No, like they didn't go no, there. but they were like, "Perfect snack for your Pride celebrations." Hashtag yes. And it was just like, no, don't do that.
Hashtag
and so that
no.
Yeah, hashtag no. So it's just, it's very disingenuous and it's also very. It's clear when mm-hmm. people aren't actually walking the walk, mm-hmm. and it's just like, okay, so was it literally a bunch of straight marketing execs sitting in a room figuring out how they could get in
I'll
queers?
Say in St. John, we also have in every May the Rainbow Peace March for the Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia, and that's a smaller march compared to the Pride Parade, but... It to me, it was always more genuine, and there weren't all of those banks and big oil manufacturers and, you know, none of those big things. And it was like, we would, you know, meet on this same path every year and would have people get up and speak from the community. And it always felt really genuine. And... you know, there was like a lot of people going to this, and it was called a march. You know, it's not Happy Time Parade. It's like we're getting up and talking about real things that affect our community, and then we're marching in unison together. And that's when we had PFLAG, and we had our local transgender support group called UBU, and we had like some of the GSAs, and they were all there with their banners, and it was like a lot more. To me, it felt a lot more like genuine and sincere.
You mentioned earlier gayonnaise as like, you know, hey, Hellman should have come up with that. And
yeah, Virgin, please hire me, Hellman's.
Virgin Trains in the UK did hashtag Trainbow. So, I mean, I clearly think that there are some execs out
that's
there
horrible.
Being like, how do I smash my product into a gay thing to market? And it's like, you know, they miss the mark as a train on this one, I think. But they don't really have the best reputation out there anyway. But
yeah, well,
from what I hear.
I also never organized a Pride parade or a Pride event of any kind, so I don't know what goes into it. But I think that like a good thing to ask yourself when organizing any event where you're going to have a relationship with sponsors is this a fundraising effort or is it a protest or is it a march or is it mm-hmm. is it a parade? Like, you know, what do you at the end of the day you're really trying to do with it and what purpose does it serve?
And I think there are some genuine. Like, I know, for example, Xerox marches in our St. John Pride Parade, and I interviewed a fellow named Ryan Crozier, who is the local contact for the Xerox LGBT support group within the company. I think it's called Galaxy. And so when I see them in the parade, I'm like, yeah, I know their policies, and I know that they support people, and they send people to conferences to talk about LGBTQ issues and how to bring them back to make the company stronger. So there are genuinely some great companies
absolutely.
That are marching, even if they are like big corporate machines. But
so the little guys who also might show up on the radio stations that you folks work for, have you been at these Pride parades? Have you been trying to get folks to join and become like us, become cool radio people like us? I know, Katie, you're like nodding your head furiously right now.
Yeah. Actually, the first year I worked at CFUB, it was like, oh, would you like to organize the Pride Parade events? And I was like, yes. So I marched in that, and it was great because we had one of our volunteers who's asexual was like, can I join? Like, am I a part of this space? And I was like, yes, of course you are. Like, yes. And then just like some of the Shire folks were like, yeah, like it was really beautiful because we actually like made the banners together and we just like shared in a lot. And we did a lot of storytelling in that as well. And just like walking together, they were like, this is my first Pride ever. And like, I'm not really like, I haven't been that comfortable in this, like, but this feels really great. And like people were yelling at us like, we love CFUV. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. So yeah, that was, it was really fun. And yeah, so we got a lot of great feedback.
Any other guys?
Have we
been in the parade and used?
Yes, I'm happy to say that myself and the former programming director at Local FM, Jed Crandall, who's a super awesome guy, we were in the Pride Parade in the summer of 2014, first time Local FM marched in the parade, and I actually was having cold feet towards the day before, and Jed was just like, we're going. And I'm happy to report that the years between 2014 and now that I've been there, of course, I was definitely there with the Local FM banner. And the years I wasn't there, my wonderful friends and co-workers, when I wasn't there, definitely had a presence in the parade. And I was really touched by that. That'll be an ongoing thing now. So I think that's really awesome.
I've been to, I was at one station before where there wasn't really much support in terms of the practicality of being at the parade, and you know, without me being there, being like rah rah rah, we need to be involved. They just haven't been back since. So I think there are folks who still need some learning and some enthusiasm, because when you're there and you're physically there, you know, it shows that there are folks, there are queer folks in that space. There are, you know, LGBT folks bringing their voice to the fore and sharing with the world. And, you know, it's a space that you can feel comfortable in. I know that maybe I'll put Mark on the hot seat here. And for Fredericton, are you folks planning to show some face at the Pride Parade?
I mean, I'm not planning anything beyond Sunday at this point because I have a little energy left. Unfortunately, we have a very small station, and it's very difficult to organize for a lot of things like that. We want to support that. We've done it a little bit differently here a couple of times. We've been approached by them, and we've been by the organizers. And one of the things we did was, what did they call it? I think a support disco party. Basically, where they took over the airwaves during the parade, and were playing music in support of that, so people could virtual dance party. I forget the name of it, but people could tune in along the route, and they could basically for part of the support be able to do that. I've spoken with organizers. I've tried to help promote the events every time I find an event that is of interest like that. So we haven't been able to go out, but what I've been trying to do is trying to bring people in and say, yes, this is a place you can talk about it, this is a place you can promote it, this is a place where, you know, we want people to go and be part of it. So that's kind of been our approach to a lot of things where we don't have the manpower to get out. Is there an equivalent proper word for manpower? I realize that's getting terribly...
People power.
Okay. Thank you. I couldn't think of synonyms. I can't say synonyms right now. But yeah, we couldn't get the people power to get out there. But at least we can offer that olive branch and try to make those connections.
Well, you folks are listening right now. If you think that, let's see, just or the station where you're hearing this, if you're not here in Fredericton, should be more involved. You know, one of the things that I always say to queer folks is, you know, there's only so much of us, and we always want to do some great work. And some of the best ways of making sure that you see great work getting done is to get down and do that great work as well, and work with the network and work with folks. So reach out to your station if you're here in Fredericton. Reach out to the folks at CHSR, and I'm sure they're more than willing to help. And all of these wonderful people who have been joining me for the last hour or so they're just all smiling because they're just thinking about the idea of some lovely folks reaching out to also to get involved. But I think we're creeping pretty much to the edge of our time.
Yeah, we're at the 56-minute point.
Absolutely. But there was one more song to play us out from Vancouver. Yeah. I'm excited about this. Do you want to introduce our parting salvo?
For sure. So this is a band called Kellarissa. It's a solo project by a person named Larissa, and they're super queer, and they make fantastic electro dance pop music. They're performing in a showcase as part of Music Waste, and it's their first ever queer showcase. This song is called Ocean Electric, and it's off of their most recent record, Electro. So enjoy, and you should listen to Kellarissa.
I've been Luke Smith.
Katie Sage.
Stephanie Tierney.
Abby Smith.
Julia Rogers.
And Madeline Taylor.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everybody. Woo.
Thank you.